Welcome to the Elizabeth Cunningham Show, courageously expanding love with me, Elizabeth Cunningham. My mission is to expand the conversation of love in the world. Is it possible to have deep, loving, healthy relationships? Have you ever been curious about having more than one relationship or partner at a time? Get ready to transform in love. Be courageous and set yourself free. In this show, we talk about relationships, sex, love, and the ways we wish we could be, but never thought were possible. The Elizabeth Cunningham Show starts now. Welcome to the Elizabeth Cunningham Show, courageously expanding love. And today we are talking about boundaries, and specifically boundaries in non-monogamy and polyamory. But before we get into that and introduce our absolutely phenomenal guest, a reminder that the Elizabeth Cunningham Show is live every single Tuesday at 3 p.m. on the Transformation Network Facebook page, and is then aired on YouTube and podcast every single Thursday. All links are in the show notes. Make sure that you hit all of the like, subscribe, notification so that you never miss a conversation about expanding in love. So on today's episode, we will be talking with Heidi Saval about boundaries and boundaries inside of non-monogamy and polyamory. Heidi works as a therapist and a coach, supporting those newer to polyamory in finding their footing. She is passionate about helping people thrive in their relationships, and she has been working with polyamorous folks for about a decade. Welcome. Thank you for being here, Heidi.
Yay. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm so glad we finally got to connect and make this happen.
I know. Oh my gosh, y'all, little backstory. We have just been terrible about connecting with each other. I completely screwed it. I was just like, oh my God.
And I
felt
so
bad. I might have dropped the ball once or twice too.
I think we both did it to each other at one point. So we're like, you know, we're on track.
It's all good. It was a tit for tat sort of thing, but yeah, I'm so excited that we finally connected. I love the work that you do. I love the content that you put out there. I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful that you do work with people who are newer to polyamory, because I feel like that is such an important group of people, because when you start these relationships and you start to explore, you really, it's not even that you're grasping at straws, it's that you're free falling.
Totally. Yes. And like, that was so me. Like, I kind of became the coach that I wish I had, because when I first started, oh my gosh, I was so dysregulated all the time. I was struggling. I was totally in that exact free fall. And I'm so passionate about like being kind of a support for people so they're not in that free fall.
Oh my gosh, 100%. I feel the exact same way. I feel like that's why we get along. It's just like, yes, exactly. That is exactly it. And today we're talking about boundaries, and that is something that we talk about. Like, it's a subject that gets brought up a lot in polyamorous and non-monogamous spaces. But I feel like it's also something that's really misunderstood as well. And so let's start with the foundation of this conversation, which is what even are boundaries? What do you mean when you say boundaries?
Yeah, that's such a good question to start with, because I totally agree. They're so misunderstood. And it's such a shame, because they can be so powerful. They're such a powerful tool. So starting with just kind of the fundamental, foundational, like, definition of boundaries, as I understand them and as I work with them, is that a boundary is, it's got two parts. The first part is, it's a statement of a person's limits and needs. And this is the second part, and this part is crucial, and the steps that a person will take to honor those limits and needs and protect themselves.
I really love that. I'm just letting that sink in, like the statement of the need and the steps that you will take to honor that.
Yes.
That, and that second bit is so crucial and often missed.
Absolutely. That's exactly right.
Yeah. So what might that sound like? Give us an example of what would that sound like?
Okay, so here's a really simple example. Let's say that I am someone who, when I'm in conflict with people I love, I really don't like getting yelled at. It mm-hmm. jacks up my nervous system. It dysregulates me. It makes it so I can no longer be like present in the conversation. Mm-hmm. So my boundary is that I won't accept being yelled at. My need is to be able to engage in conflict with, you know, calm, non-raised voices. So if I were to just say, hey, my boundary is don't yell at me. My boundary is you can't yell at me during conflict. That's not yet a complete boundary, because let's say someone yells at me. What do? I'm like, hey, I told you not to yell at me. But ultimately, when we're talking about a boundary, it is our responsibility to honor that boundary. It's not necessarily the other person's responsibility. We hope they do. But what's so empowering about boundaries is that they're up to us. We get autonomy. We get agency. We can make sure that our needs are honored. So that second piece then would be, hey, you know, so the first part is when we're in conflict, it's really important to me that I don't get yelled at. And that reinforcement, that second part is then, if you do raise your voice while we're yelling, while we're in conflict, what I'm going to do is end the conversation and we can try again another time. But I'll leave the room, I'll leave the conversation, I'll get off the phone, whatever it might be, in order to ensure that I'm not getting yelled at. And that is how I honor my boundary. That second piece is what I'm going to do to make sure that it happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And thank you. Thank you for breaking it down, and thank you for making it more tangible, because I think it's one thing to talk about a concept, but mm-hmm. it's another to be like, oh, this is how that actually looks and sounds. And this is how you would honor that and play that out. This is a possibility.
Totally. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So inside of, and you can also hear inside of that, how that might be really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like I heard, like when you were sharing that, what was going on for me is like, oh, that would be really difficult for me to walk away from a conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I'm so glad you brought that up, because I think coming up, so that second piece, that the steps that one takes to honor their limits and needs, that mm-hmm. second piece is called the reinforcer or the reinforcement. So it's the boundary and then the reinforcement, and the two parts together are what make a complete boundary. Mm-hmm. And I think a big struggle people come up with is like following through on the reinforcement. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, so much of the work I do with people is making sure they pick a reinforcement that they are willing to follow through on.
Absolutely. Yeah. And having to look, yeah, actually have to look at like, okay, and consider, would I actually follow through with this?
Yes.
What would I need in order to follow through mm-hmm. with enforcing this boundary?
Yeah.
Right.
Totally.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. So that's how it supports the individual. So how does having these boundaries support a relationship? How does this support both people or all people, regardless of how many people are involved?
Yeah. Yeah. So when we are talking about relationships, all kinds of relationships, romantic, non-romantic, and especially when we're talking about some of the complex connections that happen when we're talking polycules and non-monogamy, there are so many ways that folks' behavior can impact one another. You know, other people's behavior impact us. And so getting really clear around the ways that we are impacted, and then taking steps, if there are ways that it's negatively impacting us, to set up, you know, some protections in place, that can be a really important piece. I think also it can really strengthen a relationship and bring safety to a relationship to know where the guidelines are. Like, I want to know someone's boundaries when I'm engaging with them, because I don't want to unknowingly violate their boundaries. And so boundaries can bring a sense of safety in that way, in that it's, you know, it's really allowing the relationship to grow within that and not, and know that both people are, you know, engaging with consent and not, you know, getting outside of that. So that's one way. I think also another really big thing is without boundaries, resentment can build, confusion about what's okay and what's not okay. And if, you know, let's say that you and I are engaging and I haven't told you that I don't like getting yelled at, and you're yelling at me and you're yelling at me, and one day I just blow up and I'm like, Elizabeth, you have yelled at me all this time for months now. I have felt disrespected by you, and like, you have been treating me poorly for all this time, and I am so resentful now, and I don't even know if I want to be like, I don't even know if I want to be connected to you anymore. Mm-hmm. Now, if I had had that boundary that whole time, that resentment wouldn't have been building, because we would have known, there would have been like, you know, terms of engagement, and we would be on the same page, and we would know what's okay and what's not.
Yeah. And Yes to all of that. I'm just like, I had to decide like a flood of thoughts, but one of them was that, yeah, some people think that, you know, get really upset with boundaries. They're like, oh, well, like these boundaries are really selfish, or like boundaries are like a way to like get stuck, because it's like, oh, well, if I can't do that, then what am I going to do? Like, if I'm someone who it's like, that's how I express myself is through yelling, then I'm like, oh, well, what, like now, how can I express myself?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And it's also an opportunity like to be creative, to be like, okay, well, I'm not necessarily committed to yelling. Like, I'm actually committed to resolving something or getting my point across or being heard. And so what's another way that I can be heard when my partner is not receptive to, like, cause I actually am like, this is a really great example for me, because I actually am someone who's like really loud, and and I have had people who, I don't think that I'm yelling. I think that I'm just being like really passionate about something, and like people find that to be a little bit more aggressive. And so this actually has been something for me. It's so funny that this is an example, but this actually has been something for me where I now have to be aware of what is the level and tone of my voice that I'm using with the people that I'm relating to, and like being able to honor the people that I'm relating to in a way that they feel good and safe for me to be around, because ultimately I'm more concerned with my partner's feeling safe around me.
Right.
Right. Rather than like, I'm more committed to my partner's being safe and feeling heard than I am committed to the level and tone of my voice.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that that's such a perfect example of a way that that boundary can then support your relationships instead of, you know, the relationship going off the rails because, you know, the way that you're trying to be heard is now dysregulating or like, you know, wreaking havoc on the other person's nervous system, and you're never able to resolve conflict. And so like, it's such a beautiful example of the ways that boundaries can actually be protective to the connection and to the relationship. Oh. So I love that example.
Oh, I love that example too. How perfect is that?
Yes.
And I also have had someone who didn't share their boundary with me until like 6 months down the line.
Yeah.
And they were like, you've been doing this. It wasn't yelling, it was something else, but they were like, you've been doing this for like 6 months and I'm now pissed.
Right.
And like, you've been, and literally said verbatim what you said. Like, yeah. And I've been feeling really disrespected and you don't understand me. And like, and I had no idea. I literally had, like, I was completely unaware and I felt terrible. And then, yeah, they didn't want to be in a relationship with me anymore. They were like, no, this is over. And I was like, oh my God, like if I would have known this 6 months ago, I would have stopped.
Right. Right. Of course.
I would have done something differently.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another like perfect example of like, yes, like we want to know, we want to invite, like, please tell me your boundaries. Tell me like, what are your needs? What are your limits? Like, let's negotiate. Let's figure out what's going to work between us. And so like, I just love that example because I think people so often think of like boundaries as, oh, that's a way to keep people away or push people away and like, you know, reserve my space away from them. But like really boundaries also serve to like build up, protect, and cultivate connection too.
Oh yeah. 100. Oh, brilliant example. Okay. Fantastic. Well, we are going to go on a short break here. And then when we come back, I want to talk about what do people struggle with most? So now where I hope you are, dear watcher, dear listener, is like, oh yeah, boundaries are awesome. And we're going to come back with a like, okay, what are some of the roadblocks to creating boundaries? What do people struggle with in creating boundaries? So we're going to get into that a little bit when we get back from break.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about maximum medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Pat. I'm the host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I am the creator of the Transformation Network, doing what we do in the world of positive radio, informed, educated, positive media. Independent radio hosts and independent networks have been the face of positive messaging over the past decade. So all of us here have decided we're going to put together an independent network that is going to enable people to bring their positive message of hope, inspiration, and conscious action to the forefront. Help us create a future of amazing, uplifting stories that can be told so we can tell our children and they can tell their children of what hope and conscious action is all about.
I want to thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
On the Spiritual Freedom Show, you will hear the voice of an extraterrestrial master speaking through my teacher, Dr. George King, as it was recorded over 60 years ago. I'm Richard Lawrence, and on this podcast, I bring you the 9 freedoms, which I believe to be the greatest wisdom on earth, with practical ways to give global service and attain enlightenment.
Welcome back to the Elizabeth Cunningham Show, courageously expanding love. And we are talking to Heidi Saval about boundaries, and specifically boundaries inside of polyamorous and non-monogamous relationships. And before the break, we really laid out what are boundaries, how do you create boundaries, what does that look like, why is it so good to have boundaries, and how does it actually foster the connection and the safety in your relationship. So that was part one. And now we're moving into what do people struggle with boundaries? Why are boundaries so hard? Like what are the barriers here? So I'm just going to start off with that question, which is where do people struggle most in setting boundaries?
Yeah. So I think there are two places actually where people struggle the most with this. And I think the first one is that people confuse or use interchangeably boundaries and rules. And I think that they are very different things and they serve different purposes. But that is the biggest misconception I see out there. People say, oh, well, this is my boundary, and they state a rule. And like, you know, we can have a different conversation about like what we, how we feel about rules and, you know, where, what role rules play. But what I'm really clear about is rules are a different thing than boundaries. They serve a different purpose and they have a different function. And so when we use those words interchangeably, and when someone is setting a rule instead of a boundary, it doesn't have the kind of like versatility and power and function that a boundary has when it comes to cultivating that connection and protecting the self and protecting the relationship. And if it's helpful, I can kind of speak a little bit to the difference between the two.
Yeah, I think that would be really helpful. What, tell us the difference. Yeah.
Yeah. So first of all, boundaries are about you. So they're about the person setting the boundary. They're focusing on, you know, this is my need and I'm focusing on what I need and the steps that I will take in order to make sure that happens. Where a rule is most often about another person. So it might be like, this is my need, but this is what someone else has to do in order to make sure that my need is honored. So like, boundaries empower us to take care of ourselves, whereas rules tend to dictate what is and is not allowed in terms of someone else's behavior. The other way to think about it is with boundaries, it's the responsibility of the person setting the boundary to honor it and reinforce it and make sure that happens, which is empowering and really all about like agency. Whereas with a rule, it's the responsibility of the person following the rule, not the one setting it, to follow through on it and honor it. And so it's kind of putting the focus elsewhere versus really like, this is for me, set by me and reinforced by me.
Mm-hmm. And I know that we don't necessarily want to get into like the conversation of like pros and cons of like rules and boundaries. I mean, I guess we could. But like what would be some benefits of having a boundary versus having a rule?
Yeah. So when it comes to a boundary, boundaries are more like they are empowering. So by saying like, hey, like I don't tolerate being yelled at, you know, then I'm the one in the driver's seat of like, okay, so what am I going to do to make sure I don't get yelled at? And what are the steps that I'm going to take to make sure that I'm protecting my nervous system and it's not going haywire? Whereas if I set a rule and I'm like, Elizabeth, I have a rule, you can't yell at me, then what happens when you yell at me? I'm like, hey, you broke the rule. I set a rule and you broke it. Why did you do that? And suddenly I'm blaming you. I'm arguing with you. I might be like fighting with you. And like, there's a power struggle almost of like, do the thing I said. Mm-hmm. And that can sometimes be disempowering or create more conflict. Whereas with a boundary, I'm like, you know what? This is on me. Like, this is my limit. So I'm going to take steps to protect myself now. Like, if you feel the need to yell, you can yell, but like, I'm going to take myself elsewhere so my nervous system isn't subjected to that right now.
Yeah, I really love that. And I really love how that keeps the autonomy of both people.
Yes.
As well.
Yes.
Yeah. Because it really is like, yeah, like if I want to keep yelling, like I could do that. You know, like that's totally possible. I could just keep yelling. You can, you know, go do your thing. But like, but it really does keep the autonomy of both people, where in how you created that, the rule is like, it actually takes away the autonomy of both people. It's like now the person setting the rule doesn't have autonomy because it's dependent on the other person. And the person who the rule is for doesn't have autonomy because now you have someone who's trying to dictate your behavior.
Yes, that is exactly right. That's really well put. Yeah. It compromises the autonomy of both people.
Yeah.
Such a good point.
Yeah, that's okay. Cool. Well, I'm glad that I understood that. Perfect. 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 Yeah. So what else? What are some other ways that people struggle in creating boundaries, setting? I think that kind of, in my mind, there's like the struggle in creating, the struggle in setting, and then we talked about this a little bit before, but the struggle in keeping.
Yes.
Boundaries.
Yes.
Yeah.
So So the way I break down boundaries, I'm going to just put out there the four steps to creating boundaries. And then I can kind of talk about where people most get stuck. So the first step in setting boundaries is you need to identify what your need or limit is. Like, so that first piece is self-awareness of like, okay, like, what do I even need? Where is my limit? What is it? You know, and sometimes we don't know where a boundary is until it gets pushed upon. You know, I mean, imagine how I found out that I don't like to get yelled at in conflict. Like, that had to happen for me to be like, oh, this doesn't feel good. This is like, kind of like, I'm like dysregulated and now I can't engage. So that first step is the identifying what the need is. Mm-hmm. The second step, and this is the one where I think people get most stuck, so I can circle back to it, is determine a way to reinforce that. So that reinforcement again would be, hey, I'm, you know, if you yell, I'm just going to like have to leave the conversation or pause us, you know, so that's my reinforcement. And then the third, and this one can be hard too, is communicating that boundary clearly to the other person. So saying like, hey, just so you know, now that we're like relating, if we get in conflict, I just want you to know that I have a boundary around not being yelled at. And so like, if voices get raised, here's what I'm going to do. Like, when that happens, and that actually can help with follow through too. If it's like, you're not just like, what the hell, Heidi, why are you walking away? It's like, oh, hey, remember we discussed this and I talked about how if yelling happened, this is what I was going to do. So yelling's happening now. I'm going to peace out. Like, let's reconnect later. Mm-hmm. So having communicated that clearly. And then the fourth step is following through on that in the moment, which is obviously, you know, a really crucial one.
Yeah. Well, and I can hear just for myself how all of those things are difficult, frustrating, like, especially, you know, for me, I tend to be a little bit more avoidant, which is funny because it's like, I can get kind of aggressive in my communication, but my like style of handling conflict is a little bit more avoidant. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, ooh, like, I don't even like, in communicating my a boundary, like I'm like, oh, like I don't even want to communicate that because then that means that I will have to follow through or that I have to acknowledge that conflict is going to happen at all.
Right. Yeah.
And especially in like when you first start a relationship and you're in that new relationship energy and you're like, I don't want to talk about when we're going to fight. Like, I just want to like be all cozy and cuddly and like, you know, have sex all the time. Like, that's all I want to do. Like,
totally.
Yeah. And so like bringing up, you know, that might be awkward to be like, hey, just so you know, like inevitably it's what it sounds like to me is also like bringing reality to relationships as well. Like not having your relationship live in like a fantasy of like, oh, this person would never do this to me, or we're not that way. Or, you know, and I feel like I hear those comments too, when people are in a good spot in their relationship. They're like, oh, well, I don't need to bring that up. Why would I bring up something that's so, you know, negative in when we're like good right now.
Right. Yeah. Which I mean, maybe this is a bit of a reach, so I might regret saying this, but like it in some ways reminds me of like having like the sexual health and safety conversation where it's like, I don't want to bring that up. Like, I don't want to ruin the mood. And it's like, yeah, but this is actually like enhancing things for later. Like, this is foundational piece. And then once you have that, you know, people can have fun and you know where the parameters are and you know status and you know, like, you know, risk mitigation stuff because you've already talked about that. It feels like kind of similar.
Yeah. And I think also what gets brought up for me is normalizing these types of conversations.
Yes, totally. Yeah. Absolutely. And just being like, you know, like this is in the same way that like, you know, we work to normalize just having that status conversation early on. It's like, let's have some boundaries conversations as we're getting to know each other. Like, what are some boundaries that I should know about you? Like, where, you know, tell me about some of the really important ones that will help build our relationship in a healthy way. Like, I'd love to know what your boundaries are.
Oh, What a sexy question. Like for me, I'm like, oh, ooh, okay. Like,
yeah, it's kind of hot.
Ask me about my boundaries. All right.
Totally.
Oh my gosh. Okay, perfect. Well, we are going to hop on another break here. And, you know, okay, just to recap, so where people struggle in setting boundaries, can you just say the four again?
Yeah. So there's the four steps to boundaries.
Four steps to boundaries. Yep.
Yeah. So it's identifying your needs and limits, determining a way that you're going to reinforce those, communicating that boundary clearly to other people, and then following through.
Beautiful. All right. Write that stuff down. Write it down.
Get it down.
Write it down, get it down, see. And then I think also a good way to use that is if a boundary gets crossed, it's like, okay, which one of these things didn't get covered?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Like, oh, I see how, like, why I was upset is because, like, the third and fourth one were missing, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Just like, oh, I didn't fully communicate it, and then I didn't reinforce it.
Right. Yeah. Which reminds me, when people come to me and they're like, Heidi, I set a boundary and it didn't work. And I'm like, it didn't work. Okay. Well, like, let's look at, and it's exactly just like that. Let's look at where it broke down.
Yeah.
Because one of those four steps broke down.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Brilliant. I didn't even know I was being brilliant and brilliant. Okay. You were. Great.
Genius.
All right. We will be right back. And then when we come back, what we're going to talk about is what's possible now. Let's paint the pretty picture of what's possible when we all communicate our boundaries. All right. We'll be right back.
I'm Mark Fechner, and at the Business Mind Show, we focus on real people with real issues, and we tackle those issues in real time. I don't have the answers. I help you find the answers within you. Sometimes all that is needed is just a slight change in perception. To find out more about my coaching, go to markfechner.com. The Business Mind Show airs the second and fourth Tuesday of every month on transformationtalkradio.com.
Do you find that your world is filled with chaos that's always trying to bring you down? What if I told you that your goal should not be to get rid of that chaos, but to harness it and become your higher self with it? I'm Gina Libido, your transformational coach, and I'm here to guide you on your ascension journey and soul awakening. Learn to anchor cosmic Christ light during my one-on-one and group sessions. To find out more, go to soulinspired.org. That's soul-inspired.org. And be in body, in power, and in soul.
Damayanti, where you can find a special gift for that special person. Or perhaps that special person is you. Our collections include messages in sacred Sanskrit of love, fearlessness, divine energy, and strength, made in America and shipped directly from us to you. Damayanti is the place to find a soul message unique to you, designed for your life journey. Go to damayanti.store now to find the special mantra that speaks to your soul.
Tune in to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasek, the fourth Tuesday each month at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the golden age that provides truth and answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you monthly on TransformationTalkRadio.com on Knowledge Book Radio. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net.
Tune into the Life Strategy Show with your life strategy mentor, Lolita Smith, and say yes to bringing prosperity and success to your future right here and right now. Life is a picture of your mind, and Lolita is here to help you imagine it. Say goodbye to the strings of the past that have been holding you back for far too long. Rise up with Lolita and say yes to the solutions, prosperity, and unlimited possibility. Visit lifestrategymentor.com. That's lifestrategymentor.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Elizabeth Cunningham Show, Courageously Expanding Love. And today we are talking about boundaries with Heidi Saval. And we've talked about what are boundaries and how do people struggle with boundaries? And now we're going into what's possible. What is possible with boundaries? And so I guess my first question is, you know, why are boundaries so important? Like, this is where I really want to turn it into like the non-monogamy and polyamory. Like, why are boundaries so important specifically in non-monogamy and polyamory, and like what's possible inside of that?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think I alluded to this a little bit earlier, but when we're dealing with like complex networks of multiple people all relating, there's a lot of people's needs that are coming up. You know, there's a lot of people having needs, those needs might compete. And so when we're really focusing on boundaries, we're honoring everyone's autonomy and agency by not saying, you all need to do this, but saying, hey, here's my need and here's what I'm going to do. And that can help reduce conflict and make it so folks can kind of move through that and you know, navigate conflict in a way that is really honoring to everyone. And it's a little hard to explain. I feel like very quickly when I start to explain it, I get a little abstract with it. So I have an example I could share that is specifically related to non-monogamy that I think helps demonstrate how you can navigate competing and conflicting needs with boundaries.
Great. Perfect. Let's do it.
Okay. So in the height of like one of our big major first waves in the pandemic, I had a partner who was dating someone, had another partner who was a flight attendant, and so had a really high level of exposure. And we were really navigating like how did we honor my partner's need to see this person with my need to really reduce my risk exposure? Mm. And so, you know, we really were like, gosh, how are we going to do this? Because like, of course, I don't want to control your ability to see your other partner, but I don't want to increase my risk exposure just because you are seeing this other partner. So really complex, right? Pretty tricky. But boundaries really came through for us in this situation. So we did a lot of talking, a lot of like, you know, going through, like, I really had to work to identify my needs and my partner had to work to identify their needs as well. And then what we came up with was, it was like, okay, so you see this person as much as you want. And what we're going to do is, after you see them, you and I are going to distance for 5 days after that. We can talk on the phone. We can have like socially distant hangouts, but we're not going to like share air together. And at the time that was like the best information we had about like the 5-day incubation period. And then we would test and then we would get back together and have time together until the next time that the two of them wanted to hang out. And, you know, it was certainly a compromise. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I didn't necessarily want to socially distance from my partner for 5 days. But every time I started to feel like this isn't fair, I came back to, you know what? I'm making this choice to honor my own need. And this is my call that I'm making. And I am saying, and I'm so honoring my partner's autonomy by being like, hey, this risk exposure is worth it to you because this is someone you care about. And so I want to let you do that. And I need to honor my own needs. And so this, I could ground in that fact of like, I'm choosing this to take care of myself and honor this need of mine. And it really did help reduce conflict between us, because imagine what would have happened if, you know, we hadn't have set that. And then I was like feeling resentful toward my partner, feeling resentful toward my metamor. And like, you know, every time that they saw each other, there was like conflict between us around like, well, now I have to be exposed and I don't want to be exposed and you're putting this on me, or whatever it could have been. And that boundary setting was like such a powerful way to create that harmony where it's like, all right, we're respecting everyone's agency, everyone's autonomy, and I'm making sure that my needs and limits are really being honored by me in this situation.
Ooh, wow. That is really incredible. And I know that a lot that was a big, I mean, that was a big deal, you know, and for some people, like, you know, still is, like, it's not that COVID has gone away.
Right.
Right. And so still being cognizant of that within the non-monogamous and polyamorous community, because people, I mean, in my polycule, we still talk about COVID and COVID practices.
Yeah, same.
Right? Yeah. And so I love, and that takes a lot of respect, a lot of grounding. And I love what you said about choosing.
Yeah.
Like really coming back to, this is what I'm choosing, because it is so easy to go into, oh, this isn't fair, I don't like this, or, you know, I wish it were some other way,
right?
You know, things like that. Like it's easy. It's super easy to go down to that, you know, train of thought, but really I loved that. Like really coming back to, this is my choice. I'm choosing this. This is respecting me. This is respecting my partners. This is what we've, you know, this is what we've created together. Everyone's honoring it, and being able to get back to that grounded point. That's so beautiful. And I can really hear how that resolved and mitigated conflict.
Yeah.
And I think that's super relatable, because so many people had such a similar conflict during totally. That time too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. And it was like, I'm not going to lie and say like, oh, it was so easy breezy. We just had this conversation and it was fine. Like it was hard. And like, it took hard work to figure out like, what is worth it to me? And how am I going to honor this need? And then how am I going to reground myself in reminding myself that I chose this when I start to fall into resentment? Because I'll be like, this isn't fair. This is bullshit. I can't see my partner now. And I was like, no, Heidi, this was your boundary. You made this choice to honor your need. And like, you know, I would have to reground myself. So it's not like easy breezy. It was hard work, but it was so worth it. Right. To think about all the conflict that we were able to avoid by doing this hard but important work.
Yeah, definitely. Well, what's a tool that you would give to people in being able to keep, like, have these hard conversations and then keep these boundaries?
Yeah, so I think one tool that I think is really helpful is when you think about the reinforcement. So for me in this case, the reinforcement was I'm going to social distance for 5 days. Like that's how I'm honoring my need, right? That I'm taking myself kind of out of the shared airspace for 5 days.
Right.
And so because that's the hardest part, like, how am I honoring this? I mean, it's one of the hardest parts. So a tool that I like to think about is, as you're setting up that reinforcement, making sure, I call them the three R's. So making sure that it's relevant, reasonable, and realistic. And I'll say a little bit about what I mean about each. So like relevant would be, does this reinforcement serve to protect and honor my need? So if it was like, well, if you see this person, then I'm not talking to you for, you know, a month or, you know, whatever, like that not talking to them doesn't serve my need, right? Or if I'm like, you know, something else that's like more almost like a punishment versus an actual like, no, I'm just doing this to honor my needs. Of course, I still want to be connected to you. I still want to talk on the phone. We can socially distance hang. So making sure that it feels relevant, like this reinforcement is actually working to honor my need. The other one is reasonable. And this one, everyone has to determine for themselves what is reasonable. But I think it's a check-in to make sure, is this a punishment or is this really honoring my need? Mm. And that's what that reasonable one stands for, is like making sure that it makes sense to you and feels like it matches the boundary you're trying to meet. Mm-hmm. And then the third is realistic. And this is the one you alluded to early on. Realistic means, can you follow through on it? When it comes down to it, are you really going to be able to follow through? And that piece is so important, because if we set boundaries and we don't follow through on them, it's really confusing for other people. And it kind of shows people that like, either maybe we don't mean it, or maybe that boundary isn't actually important to us. So making sure when you come up with a reinforcement that it is realistic, that you really are willing and able to follow through on it, is so key. So I think those three R's are kind of like a helpful tool in setting the boundary.
Oh my gosh, beautiful. I love that. Yeah, that's really great. And it really upholds the the honor that you have in your autonomy, but it's also like the trust in the relationship and the trust in your words and what you're saying as
Yes,
well. Yeah.
totally.
Beautiful. All right. Well, we are going to hop on another break. And then when we get back, we're going to wrap up. I'm sure that there's many people who are listening, watching right now that are like, oh my God, I need to talk to you, Heidi.
Awesome.
I need to talk to you. And so when we get back from break, we're going to talk about how to get a hold of Heidi and wrapping up the show. So we'll be right back.
Are you looking for a way to break old habits that are holding you back from reaching your true potential and living the life you deserve? Well, look no further than Dr. Loretta Billups. She is a clinician and a relationship and mental health coach that will assist you with reaching your purpose. She will hold you accountable so that your desires are now a reality. Connect with Dr. B at cultivatingyourlife.com and find your path today. That's cultivatingyourlife.com.
Mary Jane Mack, and I'd love to tell you about the latest technology of the Velara company. I've been using the Velara company equipment, the air machines, since 1992, and I have found them to be totally successful in killing mold, mildew, and keeping your house fresh and clean. If you'd like more information on it, you can look at MaryJaneMack.com or call our office at 888-777-4232.
Are you wanting more for your life? Are you ready to create your life with confidence and contribution? We all have a gift to give to the world. Becoming you is that gift. In order to truly live your life, you have to become you on purpose and with intention. Leah Rowling supports you in becoming you using the B method, consistently producing results for hundreds of entrepreneurs and business owners. For more information, visit leahrowling.com.
Heaven on Earth, your online school of divinity, building your inner coach as you lay down your foundation in the new earth with you as the authority. Take action now. The number one challenge people face every day is the negative voice in their head. We work each day to turn negatives into positives. It's all a matter of perception. Our challenge at this time is to remain intensely positive and focused, creating the world we wish to live in. Wake up on purpose with Cornelia's daily online positive messages guiding us in the new paradigm. Raise yourself into happiness and inner peace daily. Elevate your personal frequency, free from negativity, and reprogram yourself step by step, shifting your energy patterns with positive repetition, daily building your new earth with someone you trust. All the heavy lifting has been done for you. Wake up happy with CorneliaStephanieVIP.com. Try free for 7 days now.
All right, welcome back to the Elizabeth Cunningham Show, Courageously Expanding Love. And this is our, unfortunately, this is our last segment of the show with Heidi talking
about. It went so fast.
It went so fast. It's so good. If you're just jumping into the show now, please, I implore you to listen to the show multiple times to take notes and to implement. Like, I want you to think of this show today as like a class, because there was so much good information. Thank you, Heidi, so much for just like pouring your knowledge, your tools, your skills, your expertise into the show. I mean, I've absolutely learned things from this episode. So yeah, everybody who's listening, watching, take notes, watch it a few times. And we'll, in here in a second, we're gonna let you know how to get a hold of Heidi if that's something that you want to do. So, first question in our wrap up is, what does love mean to you?
Ooh, I love that question. Yeah, for me, love is about connecting deeply. It's about vulnerability. It's about intimacy. It's about trust. And it's about like a really deep sense of authenticity.
I love that. I really felt that. That was like, all the way to the core.
So good.
All right, if people get nothing else, what do you hope that they got out of this episode?
The one thing that I think is the main takeaway is that boundaries are not about pushing people away. Boundaries are an essential tool for maintaining healthy relationships.
Thank you. All right. What's one action that people can take?
Like an action around boundaries?
Sure.
Let's see. I think, well, one action I would love it if people were to take is to kind of do the thing you and I talked about, like sit down with your partners and be like, hey, let's talk about what our boundaries are. What are our relationship boundaries? Like, let's just start a conversation about it. I think that would be amazing if people were to just kind of sit down after listening to the show and be like, what are our boundaries? Let's talk about it.
Oh my God. Yes. I love that action step. That is a fantastic thing to do. Yeah.
Yes.
Even like listen to this episode together and then be like, oh, okay. Like, what do you hear? What do you hear for yourself? What boundaries do you have? Yeah. I absolutely encourage people to like use these shows as a gateway to a conversation. Like if you don't know how to start it, use this show to start the conversation. Be like, hey, I was listening to this episode the other day. Will you listen to it with me? And then can we talk about it?
Yeah.
Awesome. I love that. I love that action step. Okay, great. All right. What are you promoting? What are you up to? How can people get a hold of you?
Yes. Oh, so many things. Okay. First and foremost, I have a free offering that folks can find on my website. My website is shelovesradically.com. And I have a free mini course. It's a 5-day email set that is on unpacking jealousy. So it's all about what is jealousy, concrete steps to manage jealousy, how to engage in conversation with folks around jealousy. So great way to just kind of get a little bit of a taste of my work and the things that I do. Anyone can find that on my website. I'm also posting little informational videos almost daily on Instagram and TikTok. I'm on both at She Loves Radically, same name on both. And then my biggest, most exciting passion project is I do a group coaching cohort. I do it once a quarter. And the next one is coming up. The winter cohort is coming up. It starts on January 11th. The group is called Steady Your Polywobbles. And it is for folks who are newer to polyamory. And it's an 8-week program. And we go over kind of the foundational skills that will help you ground in the practice of polyamory. And there's worksheets, there's homework, we do once a week kind of group calls where there's coaching, a lot of information, and people kind of build, like they form community with one another in there, and folks build lifelong relationships, which is so amazing to get to be a part of.
Oh, I love all of that. Okay, so all of that is in the show notes. So if any of that sounded relevant, interesting, or if any of that was just like a, oh my God, I need that, just scroll down, click on the link and contact Heidi and she'll get you all squared away. All right, Heidi, thank you so much for being on the show today and just pouring your love into me, into my audience. I appreciate you and the work that you do so much.
Thank you. It's so exciting to get to be on your show. I think your show is amazing. And I'm so excited that I get to be a part of it. So thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. Oh my gosh. All right. And thank you all so much for listening, for watching, whatever platform that you're on right now. Just a reminder that we are live every single Tuesday at 3 p.m. on the Transformation Network Facebook page, and we're then aired on YouTube and podcast every single Thursday. Again, all links are in the show notes. We make it as easy for you as possible. So scroll down, click on it, hit the like, subscribe, rate, review, notification button, and until next time, keep loving. You have been listening to The Elizabeth Cunningham Show, Courageously Expanding Love, with me, Elizabeth Cunningham. Tune in live every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where we shed light on relationships, sex, love, and the ways we wish we could be but never thought were possible. Learn to love yourself and create the relationships you want. Connect with me at ElizabethAnnCunningham.com. That's ElizabethAnnCunningham.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.